Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer for you, why, we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. That number good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we're talking about hope, and in light of this conversation, I want to talk about our future a little bit. Most of us think about our future. We think about retirement. We think about what that's going to look like. What are we going to do? All of those sort of things. A lot of time is spent on thinking about the future. A lot of those people who are depressed or anxious and experience those types of emotions is because their minds are stuck in the future and they're painting a very dark and bleak picture. But when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ and the hope that we have in Christ, our future is very bright. The picture is just unbelievable. And Paul was thinking about that when he penned the book of Romans, particularly Romans 8, starting in verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. So something's going to happen. There's going to be a glory that is revealed in us, the children of God. Now he says, the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. So all of creation is waiting for this moment for the glory of God to be revealed through the sons of God. That's you and me, anyone who has come to faith by Christ Jesus. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of him, the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. There's going to be a redemption of all of creation, and that's going to coincide with this glorious freedom that we, the children of God, will show forth when we are revealed. And so we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. And boy, as we age, as the calendar changes years on us, year after year after year, that groaning and that eagerness and that hope becomes more precious to us. We long for it. We want it to happen today or tomorrow or soon. But we have that in us. We're waiting for the redemption of these bodies of ours. And it's in this hope. Now, see how important hope is. It's in this hope that we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. We have these old bodies. We're still attached to these old bodies that are subject to sin and death and sickness and disease and all those sort of things. These bodies that are going to wind up in a casket or, you know, in the earth somewhere. We're still in these bodies, but we long for a new body. So we don't see what these new bodies are going to be like. We don't see it at all. So who hopes for what he already has? We don't have this new body yet.
Yeah.
It's coming. But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. So what does this hope do for us? It enables us to wait patiently in this present world. As Paul wrote in Titus, we're waiting patiently for the appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's what this hope enables us to do in this present world, is to wait patiently. Do you have that hope? Are you expecting what God has for you in Christ Jesus? If you are, you can count on that hope doing something for you here and now.
And if you don't, we'd love to speak with you on this edition of Basic Gospel. That toll-free number, 844-322-2742, a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines and talk with Jeanette here in Dallas, Texas, listening to us on The Word. Hi, Jeanette.
Hi. I was calling because I was wondering about what the Bible says about taking antidepressants. I suffer from depression, and I feel a lot of sadness and hopelessness. And I've been to a psychiatrist, and I start taking the medicine. I don't necessarily feel like I'm doing any better, but I don't go back because I feel like I should, as a Christian, believe in God and have faith and not have to be able to take the medicine. So I was wondering what your take on that was.
Well, Jeanette, let me ask you this. How long has this been going on in your life, and what was the trigger? I mean, what caused you to go down that path? Was there something that happened in your life that you just couldn't overcome?
It was a bad relationship, and then I made some poor financial choices and lost my money and became broke. So those two things triggered sadness and hopelessness.
Okay, so do you think antidepressants can fix those circumstances, a bad relationship or poor financial decisions?
No.
So those things that triggered it, what you need is wisdom from God to move forward and to make some good decisions, right?
Right.
Okay. So you kind of said, hey, I've had a bad relationship. I wonder if I'm ever going to be happy. I wonder if I'm ever going to find somebody that I can enjoy life with. And that negative thought just thrust you down this path to where you started experiencing self-pity, woe is me, probably the poor financial decisions were made in that seedbed of self-pity, and you were trying to spend that money in order to make yourself feel a little better, feel better about yourself. Was that right?
Yes.
Okay. And that didn't work, did it?
No.
Yeah, so now you're in a financial hole, and you think there's no way out. And being down there, you know, with this self-pity, this woe is me, this fear, this anger, self-pity, fear, anger, self-pity cycle, you start getting depressed. You do something to that body of yours where that body and that mind becomes depressed. A negative chemical reaction takes place. The things that your brain and your body used to produce to bring about happier feelings, it's having a hard time producing those things. So the ultimate solution isn't going to be through drugs. It's going to be learning to trust Jesus in the midst of this circumstance, recognizing that He and He alone can bring contentment to your soul, and that can give you the wisdom to make some decisions that are going to result in love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control, those sort of things. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, I would like to stop feeling so hopeless and sad. It's hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel. I believe in God with everything in me, but I'm wondering where He is.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this, Jeanette. Have you come to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ? Have you received Him into your heart and have been made fully alive in Christ?
Yes.
Okay. So you know that you're saved?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
So here's what that means, Jeanette. He's taken away your sins, and He has given to you the total forgiveness of your sins. So you stand before God as a forgiven person. That's good news, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. So the punishment that you deserved, who took for you?
He did.
He did. Okay. So is there any punishment left for you?
No.
No. Okay. Is that worth thanking the Lord for?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now here's the next aspect of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is sin brought about a consequence, and that consequence was death. And so when you came into this world, Jeanette, you were you were separated from the life of God. You were dead spiritually. That's why you felt like something was wrong deep within your soul and within your spirit. Something was wrong there. And then you come to faith in Jesus Christ. Guess what happens? You're made alive. You go from death to life. John 5:24 says this, that he who believes and receives Jesus crosses over from death to life. So you've been made alive in Christ. You've been given forgiveness of sins. You've been made fully alive in Christ. And then the third thing that happens is that God sends his Spirit to take up residence in you. So you're never alone as a child of God. Jesus is always with you. Now, in your thinking, you may think that he's a million miles away. And as a result of that thinking, you may feel that he's a million miles away. But if you're a child of God, that's not true. He is right there with you with the promise that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, is that worth saying thank you to the Lord for?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So if Jesus Christ is alive, living in you, do you think he can speak into your current situation? Do you think he has something to say about your current situation?
I want to believe so.
Okay. So if he's alive, living in you, he can speak into your current situation. That's where your hope lies. Your hope isn't in a pill. It may make you feel a little better, and that's fine. It may get your body back into a regular functioning state, so to speak. But it can't solve the problem. It can't give you the hope that you need. Only Jesus can do that. He is your hope. He's alive, living in you. He's your hope of glory. He's your hope of breaking out of this emotional spiral that you've been in so that you can experience genuine peace, true joy, and a sense of purpose in your life. And I know that's what you want, isn't it?
I want that so desperately. I would love to wake up and feel peaceful and know that all things are laid at his footsteps and I don't have to worry about anything. That's where my goal is, but I'm having a really difficult time tapping into that spirit.
Okay. Well, here's one last thing, and then I want us to pray together, and then we have some resources. And Jeanette, we're right here in the Dallas area. We would love to connect with you even beyond this phone call and help walk you through this process if you would be open to that. We would love to be there for you. But I want to talk a little bit about feelings. Feelings follow thought. So we think something, and then we feel something. So if you're thinking angry thoughts towards somebody, you're going to start feeling that anger deep within you. If you are thinking jealous thoughts, you're going to start feeling jealousy. So you've been in this downward spiral where you've been thinking fearful thoughts, angry thoughts, self-pity thoughts. And as a result, your feelings are very strong in those areas. Okay? So you need to recognize that truth will eventually trump feelings. And so you need to put your feelings kind of on the back burner and say, Lord, I want to stand on truth. I know my feelings, it's going to take some time for those to come back around. But I still want to learn to stand on truth, and I want to learn to thank you, to allow this truth to overflow my heart with an attitude of gratitude. And I think as you do that, you're going to see the feelings start coming back around.
Okay.
Okay? So can I just pray for you, Jeanette?
That would be fantastic.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving Jeanette the courage to pick up that phone and call in to the radio broadcast today. We hear the pain that's in her heart. We hear the struggle that she's going through. And we know that you do as well, that you know exactly what's going on inside of her. And I pray now, Lord, by your Spirit, that you will turn her eyes away from her current circumstance and place them squarely on Jesus and all that Jesus has accomplished for her. And that in so doing, that you would fill her heart with gratitude so that she can say genuinely, authentically, thank you for the forgiveness that I have. Thank you for the life that I have in Christ. Thank you for the hope that I have, knowing that Christ is here with me, living inside of me. Lord, do that in Jeanette's life, and we will trust you for that. And again, thank you so much for our dear sister. Thank you that you've reached out and saved her. Thank you that you're there with her. And we look forward to what you're going to be doing in her life as you restore hope deep within her heart and soul. And we pray these things in Christ's matchless name. Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
Well, Jeanette, what I want to do is put you on hold. We have some materials. We have a CD series, two audio messages called The Breakout. And those will help you immensely. And we have some other information that we will send to you. And then let's try to work it out where we can connect personally here in Dallas, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Jeanette. Thanks for calling.
Yes, indeed. One more reason why it's important for Basic Gospel to be on the air live each day so that we can reach out and touch those like Jeanette who have a need and have burning questions that many times are somewhat debilitating. So it's important for us to be here. We're on the air every day to get the word out that Jesus is alive and wants to share his forgiveness and life with you. And if what you hear on Basic Gospel is beneficial to you, we invite you to share in the blessing of joining us in support of Basic Gospel with your prayers and your gifts. It's never been more vital to get the word out. That's the primary reason to give through Basic Gospel. But for your gift of any amount this month, we'll send you a copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, the companion study guide to Bob Christopher's book. And to claim your copy and support the ministry at the same time, click Donate on any page at basicgospel.net. Or you can speak with our operator at 844-412-2742 during Central Time office hours. That's 844-412-2742. Make your gift today and receive a copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, the study guide.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Long Beach, California, and talk with Lindell. Hi, Lindell. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
How are you doing?
We're doing well. What's on your mind today?
Well, I'm so glad you guys are there. I just listened to Jeanette's call, and wow, I'm a regular supporter. I listen every day. I don't know if you guys remember me, but I was with you in Plano at the
Yes, Lindell, I certainly remember you, and I think you were out with us in California as well. So,
yes.
Yes.
Yeah, those beautiful Santa Cruz Mountains.
Yes, indeed. So what's on your mind today?
I've been trying to work through this issue that I have in my mind, whether or not I've got a question about Adam and Eve. I've tried to think it through, and I just can't get all the way through it. Does Jesus sacrifice and, you know, his awesome love cover their sin? I know they came from a state of perfection and fell, and I know that Jesus' sacrifice covers everyone or is available to everyone of their descendants. But what about those two?
Well, Lindell, I think the passage in Genesis 3 really answers that. After the fall, the Lord speaks to the serpent, he speaks to Eve, and he speaks to Adam. And to the serpent he said, "Cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. And he will crush your head and you will strike his heel." And so with that, Lindell, we see, I think, the first mention of Jesus. We see the first mention of his work to defeat the work of Satan in mankind. And so anyone in the Old Testament who looked to that sacrifice, to that promise of the coming Messiah, they were saved, just as Abraham was. He believed God. It was credited to him as righteousness. David looked to the coming of Christ and his sacrifice, and he received the forgiveness of sins and said, "Blessed is he whose sins the Lord does not count against him." And that's the basis of Romans chapter 4. So I think we see this unfolding story of Christ right from the get-go, and it's was available to all. Now, how that played itself out in Adam and Eve's life, we don't really see, do we?
No, we don't have any record of that, but it absolutely, if sin entered by the one man Adam and life came by the one man Jesus Christ, then the life Jesus brought has to apply to Adam and Eve just as much as anyone else.
Yes. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. So now these Old Testament saints, you know, they were in a holding pattern. They were commended for their faith, but as we see in the book of Hebrews, they didn't receive all that we receive now in Christ. Why? Because the sacrifice hadn't actually been made. Jesus hadn't entered into this world, hadn't occupied that body that had been prepared for him, and had not offered it as the once-for-all sacrifice. So all of that was future. Once that happened, then they received what we received. But until then, they were just commended for their faith. Righteousness was credited for their account, and they were in this holding pattern until the promise could be given once Christ had died, was buried, and raised back to life.
Well, for everybody after Adam and Eve, I understand. I mean, that's not a problem. I was just trying to figure out about the original two who were in a state of perfection. You know, it's kind of like they chose, just like Lucifer, you know, he didn't make a mistake. He chose to deviate. So
their choice was there, but I think, you know, they did get a glimpse of what was to come, you know, through this delivery of the good news about the seed of the woman. And I'm sure God revealed other things to them that we just don't have recorded for us in the scriptures.
Good. I agree with you. My heart agrees with you. Just right now, it's just my heart is sort of. I'm glad to know that. I'm glad you feel that way, because now I can see it that way too. I mean, it makes a lot of sense,
doesn't it?
Certainly with.
Yeah.
The love of God is so awesome. I mean.
Yes.
You know,
yes, it is.
Not?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Endel, thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it. Always good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you. Can I ask one quick question? If you guys, do you know of any grace-based churches here in Long Beach or in the L.A. area at all?
Well, let me put you on hold, and we'll see if we can do some research on that for you. You hang on, Lindell, okay?
Okay, and thanks so much. I appreciate it.
You are so welcome. Well, let's quickly go to Antioch, California, and talk with Philip. We have just about a minute, Philip.
Okay, my question is about divorce and remarriage. I'm a Christian man, 27 years. When I first got saved, even then I knew divorce for Christians wasn't an option. But I married a professing, believing woman who abused me, hospitalized me, kicked me out. Then she divorced me twice. The second divorce has been final over 8 years ago. She doesn't want to reconcile. She doesn't want nothing to do with me.
Well, Philip,
I
think scriptures will say in 1 Corinthians 7 that if somebody else comes along your path and you develop a relationship with her built upon the finished work of Christ, the new covenant that we live in, that you're fine to remarry. So I don't think you have to worry about that. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you some information that I think can answer that a little further, okay? You hang on, Philip.
Yeah, friends, stay in touch with Basic Gospel while you're on the go by downloading the feature-rich Basic Gospel app, available now in the App Store. And we invite you also to go online to basicgospel.net and join our email list. We'd love to see your name on that. But we're out of time now for Bob and Richard of the ministry team. Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow for a teaching edition. Bye-bye.